It is Tuesday, so therefore it is time for Heard Online, a series of investigative videos where we look at claims made about sleep on the World Wide Web to see if they are true or not. Sound a little black and white and dualistic, which I always mean not to be. So we'll just see if they, you know, if they seem to be, you know, helpful or not. Let's put it that way instead. But anyways, hope you'll feel this, find this really, really helpful. Quick backstory. Yesterday, I posted this and saw my Insight video that I think really resonated with the community about how, like, what links insomnia with OCD and with panic attacks is what we call sleep efforts or compulsions or safety behaviors. And then I made a tweet about that. And someone named Spencer Dawson, who is a professor at the University of Indiana, tweeted back and said, hey, you should check out this work by Allison Harvey, who's a professor at Berkeley. And I saw something she had written in a textbook that, you know, was tweeted at me. And I was like, wow, this is really, really nice. So I wanted to share it with you. Two things before we get started. First is a thank you to Kristen, who is our latest supporter on Patreon. And she's a sleep hero. That's what we call, you know, our supporters on Patreon. Thanks so much for being a supporter here. I appreciate it very, very much. And secondly, I just want to say right away that if you're looking for, you know, more practical help understanding your own insomnia, etc., this video may not be super helpful. This is more if you're like, if you like Journal Club, if you like looking at like a, you know, some scientific work and kind of pondering it and etc. And there is, I think there's a very nice kind of meta twist at the end that I look forward to sharing that one with you. But anyway. With all that being said, let us jump in here and look at the work of Allison Harvey. So, and by the way, I should say Allison Harvey and who else was it? Allison Harvey and Polina Edelman, who I guess at the time were both at Golden Bear Sleep and Mood Research Clinic. That has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Golden Bear at the University of California. Now, the title here is Intervention to Reduce Use of Safety Behaviors. And, you know, that caught my attention. Like, that's what I saw on Twitter. And I was like, wow, somebody has done work on insomnia here, like specifically on reducing safety behaviors, which was exactly what we talked about yesterday here on the channel. So that really sparked my interest. And I was glad I was able to find this entire chapter, which, by the way, this is a chapter in a textbook. And I think this is written for somebody who is a therapist with some suggestions on how this therapist can work with their patient who has insomnia in reducing said patient's safety behaviors. That's kind of like why this was written. Now, the protocol name we talked about and the idea here is the intervention is an approach to reducing the use of safety behaviors. Safety behaviors include overt and subtle attempts to cope with inadequate sleep and to increase control over sleep. Does that sound familiar? I hope it does, because that's, you know, we talk about that a lot, that insomnia really comes from this place when we're trying to control something that cannot be controlled, sleep. But in reality, at a deeper level, it is trying to control our emotions. But anyways, this sounded really nice to me. There was no contraindications. And I think we already saw some of the greatest points, but the authors say here that safety behaviors include, again, overt and subtle attempts to cope with inadequate sleep and increase control of sleep. A key point to note is that safety behaviors arise from beliefs about sleep, such as I can't cope without 8 hours, or if I don't get to sleep, I have to make up for napping or conserving energy. So the idea is that the person struggling with insomnia has these certain beliefs that are creating a need for safety behaviors. And then they say, unfortunately, safety behaviors serve to prevent disconfirmation of these beliefs. You know, how about that one? They prevent disconfirmation of beliefs. And, you know, I just wanted to take a quick pause and share that. I actually, this resonates a lot with me, that when we are doing something to keep safe, what that prevents us from seeing is that there was nothing to be safe from. So it prevents disconfirmation. And if this still kind of sounds odd to you, I read about this you know, tribe in the Amazon jungle. I don't know if this is true or not, but the story goes that in this tribe, the members, they send somebody to watch the sun rise every day. And the belief is if they don't do that, the sun will not rise, which is obviously very scary to said tribe. So they have somebody, you know, standing guard like a sentinel every night to watch the sun rise. And the question then becomes, if this tribe, for some reason, would want to kind of test their hypothesis, what can they do? You know, because every time they send someone out to watch the sunrise and the sun does come up, it seems to confirm that that is needed, or that's what makes the sun come up. So really the way to provide disconfirmation here would be to not stand guard, you know, which is obviously quite scary, right? But that is the way to, if you want to have disconfirmation, you step away from the safety behavior. So you have nobody stand guard and see if the sun comes up or not. And when the sun comes up, then you have that disconfirmation that they talk about in this chapter. Now, looking closely at them, you know, that's to me when things start to become like going from like, oh, this is so amazing. Like this idea, it resonates so well with me. Would kind of like, okay, I don't see it quite the same way. So for example, they're saying here, safety behaviors can impact, let me just make sure I'm sharing with you, I am, okay, their regularity of sleep. So they're saying like, for example, if we're sleeping in late in the morning, napping during the day and going to bed early, that can impact the regularity of the sleep cycle. And although this is true, the idea that sleeping too much is why we have insomnia, to me, doesn't ring true at all. So I don't think this is, you know, a very important one at all. But in traditional CBT, there's a lot of emphasis on like, don't take naps, get up the same time every morning. So this is a little bit from that realm, I think. Now, here's an interesting one. So they're saying that there's thinking through plans for the next day can impact how easily we go to sleep. And, you know, I'm sure that's true, but then sort of the question becomes, what do we do with that? And this leads to what they say here. Some trigger a paradoxical fueling of thoughts. In other words, when the safety behavior is tell myself to stop worrying, try to stop thinking about my problems, tell myself I must go to sleep now, that can actually fuel thoughts, you know? So what they're saying here is that when we're trying to suppress worries, that can actually fuel our thoughts. And that to me rings very, very true. I think a lot of us can recognize this one. And keep this in mind as we go a little further for a reason that's very interesting. Now, the last three ones here, I think there's really something here. They're saying that, for example, taking the day easy, canceling all our appointments for a day, can actually keep us feeling sleepy during the day. It can kind of maintain that us feeling sleepy. And I think there's some truth here, because if we cancel everything we're doing, we're going to focus more on how we feel and maybe fall sleepy. That's going to kind of just to be emphasized, but that can be true. Where they're saying that if we avoid meeting other people, slowing down the pace of the day, reducing self-expectations, the day can become unpleasant or boring for the same reason. I think there's some truth here. Okay. So with that said, and not to make this too long, what they're saying here in their couple of examples here is that they're inviting the therapist to check what type of kind of belief that is unhelpful their patient has, and then to kind of work with their patient to see how they can, you know, maybe challenge that or change that belief or work with that belief, something like that. And we'll skip the first example and go to example two, and it's clock watching. So they're saying this. Many patients with insomnia monitor the clock in order to see how long it takes to fall asleep, and if awake at night, how many hours of sleep remain. On waking, many patients also calculate the number of hours they slept. This clock watching behavior typically serves to fuel anxiety, as the patient very rarely gets good news by checking the clock. As anxiety and frustration increase, patients are likely to have even greater difficulty sleeping. And to me, this made a lot of sense. Like we talked a lot about the timeless way, the timeless sleep window. And like checking the time is sort of a safety behavior, right? Because we're craving control. It feels like we're getting control when we monitor, but in reality, it often just keeps us preoccupied and worried. So I think this one was very nice. I have very little to comment except that I like this one. Now, you know, when we go to example four, though, they're saying that drinking coffee is a safety behavior. They're saying basically that, you know, a lot of patients with insomnia, they think that they won't go get through the day unless they drink a lot of coffee. So they're seeing drinking coffee as a safety behavior. When I see much more commonly the opposite, I see the safety behavior being to not drink coffee, to skip drinking coffee. And, you know, just interesting that, you know, they had a different idea there. I forgot what I really wanted to point out, which will be the last element. And then we'll just have a discussion around this. And this was actually example one. So they're saying that many patients with insomnia focus a great deal of their attention during the day on monitoring their mood, energy, and performance as a way of gauging their tiredness, whether they got enough good sleep the night before, and whether they are coping. This internal focus typically amplifies feelings of tiredness and contributes to concern about and preoccupation with sleep. And I think there's much truth there. But then they're saying, like, okay, the experiment you can do with your patient is the following. You can say, you can consider asking the patient to monitor sleep-related symptoms for 2 hours during the day and then spend the next 2 hours not monitoring the sleep-related symptoms. And so they're basically saying, like, ask your patient to spend 2 hours monitoring their symptoms and 2 hours not monitoring their symptoms and see, you know, which led to feeling which way. And to me, this is kind of interesting because it sort of contradicts what they said about the paradox of thoughts, that the more we try to stop thinking about something, the more we think about it. So when you ask somebody, so it's like, okay, and then you monitor your symptoms for 2 hours, and you don't monitor your symptoms for 2 hours, it implies that we can just decide to not think about something, which is impossible. So I thought that was really, really tricky. But big picture here, I found it really refreshing to see that the idea that safety behaviors are really what fuels inner struggles and insomnia in particular, I thought that it was nice to see that these ideas exist in, you know, the space of academia, you know, where we almost everything we hear from academia is like CBT and these behavioral interventions that we know are very, very tricky. Now, mind you, this is from 2011. It's like more than 10 years old. I haven't heard much about like safety behaviors from like the traditional space, but it's still really nice to see it. Now, here's kind of the meta twist that I alluded to in the intro. The question in my mind when I read this is like, why aren't these ideas replacing kind of traditional rules-oriented CBTI? Because there's no question, at least in my mind, that the ideas presented by Allison Harvey here and Allison Harvey and who else was it? I have to say, Allison Harvey and Paulina Edelman, I think are gonna be really much more helpful, right? Like they go deeper than this, like, oh, get up at 5, stay up till midnight, check your sleep efficiency, calculate that, and tweak a sleep window. Those like that behavioral approach, the rule-based traditional CBTI approach, I don't think is that helpful versus this, which is like it starts getting to where it's really at, is much more helpful. So why aren't these the ideas that I think really would help more people? Why aren't they replacing more traditional rules-oriented CBTI? And to me, this is the reason. I think these type of ideas presented in this chapter, they lead into the woo. They lead into, like, you know, talking about emotions and like letting go of control, seeing we can't control our emotions, we can't control our thoughts. It's the attempt to control our inner experience that creates a struggle for us. And, you know, when you go in this direction, you as a professor or as a clinician or as a therapist, you're leaving the safety and comfort of just talking about numbers and talking about like specific behaviors. There's an invitation to leave the safety and leave this illusion that we have control. And I think that is very uncomfortable. I think it's like not a lot of professors and, scholars feel that this is like doable to them. So a safety behavior, you know, a safety behavior becomes to kind of like, you know, not really face that and keep talking about sleep efficiency and sleep drive and et cetera, et cetera. So I think to me, this is kind of a meta thing that, you know, for all of us, like, you know, this very natural tendency to not want to really see what's going on inside our minds and our hearts and like our feelings, it creates some struggle for us, you know, and on every level. So I thought that was a kind of interesting like meta twist there. Speaking of which, I still have to do that episode where I talk about like myself and the teachings and how they apply to me, etc. But I'll conclude there. Thanks for tuning into Herd Online. If you made it here, that's amazing. I appreciate the you staying with me and tuning in, and do let me know what you thought. Comments on this would be very, very appreciated. So I'll conclude there. Thanks so much for being here. Tomorrow we have a live Q&A. Hope you see you there, and there's much more to come. So see you soon, and have a wonderful rest of your Tuesday. Bye for now.